Hello, this is Steve Braswell. Welcome to my podcast. We are in a series that I've called The Seven Secrets of Contentment. I said last week that I believe contentment is one of the things that's missing the most in the church today. So the first secret last week was rediscover your joy. The second secret, the one for today, is look around you to see who's there. We all have burdens that trouble us and keep us up at night. Questions like, am I going to the right school, dating the right person, choosing the right major? Will I get sick? Will I get cancer? Will my loved ones live long enough to join me on some special day in my life? All kinds of questions like that. Well, here's the best way I can think of to provide the answer to your biggest burdens and fears. Look around you to see who's there. God has an answer to your biggest questions. It's not cataloged in the Bible under A for answers. You can't just open your Bible like an index and find it, but if you read it and study it, you will find it. I found God's answer to all my fears in Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6. Listen, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. There it is. Be content with what you have. And how can that happen? Because God has said, and then he quotes two verses from the Old Testament, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you, Deuteronomy 31:6. So we say with confidence, here's another quote, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can human beings do to me? Psalm 118:6-7. So think of all the bad things that could happen. I know some of you are worriers, so you tend to think of all the bad possibilities. Well, think of all of them, add them all up, but then add this, God, no matter what. Think of the bad things and then add, on top of that, bigger than that, God, no matter what. God knows we have trouble believing that all that, so he gave us Hebrews 13, 5, and 6. He wraps this promise up in five negatives. Twice he repeats two Greek words that mean no, and then he adds another word that means no. So in English, it's as if he's saying, I will never, never, never leave you or forsake you. Absolutely not. That reminds me of the verse from the hymn, How Firm a Foundation. The soul that on Jesus has leaned for repose, I will not desert to his foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never, no, never, no, never forsake. What did God say in the Bible to people whenever they were afraid? He said the same thing over and over. I am with you. Look around you to see who's there. God is saying, I am with you. Let's look at four examples of that in the Bible, and maybe you'll find yourself in one of these examples. First, Jacob the cheater, Genesis 28:15. Jacob's been on the road for 2 days. He's on the run. He had stolen the firstborn inheritance from his brother Esau, and then deceived his father Isaac into giving him the family blessing. This double deceit has fractured his family and forced him to be on the run. It's an awful situation. That night, with a stone for a pillow, he sleeps in the wilderness under the starry sky, and he dreams of angels going up and down a stairway. Older translations say ladder, but it's more like a stairway that stretches from earth to heaven. Up till this time, God has not spoken to Jacob, to his grandfather Abraham, yes, to his father Isaac, yes, but not to Jacob. And why would God bother with a cheat like him after all he had done? Jacob is not expecting to hear from the Lord that night, but then the Lord does speak to him. What does he say to him? I am with you. I'm with you and will watch over you wherever you go. I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I promised you. Jacob feels guilty about his past, fearful about his future, and totally uncertain of his present. And God solves all of those fears with these simple words, I am with you. There is no place we can go, even with our own sin and deceit, that God is not already there. Jacob, look around you to see who's here. I am here now, and I will always be here. So be content with what you have. If you like math, let's put it in a mathematical form. God plus nothing equals everything. You see, if you have God, you have everything you need. So there's no need to add anything. God plus nothing equals everything. Be content with what you have. Second example, Israel the terrified, Deuteronomy 31:6. This is actually the verse that's being quoted in Hebrews 13:5. Fast forward from Jacob to the Israelites in the wilderness for almost 40 years. Now they're on the eastern side of the Jordan, and Moses is an old man. Knowing they'll be facing enemies when they enter Canaan, Moses looks into the future and tells them what to do when he's not there with them anymore. He says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. The Israelites faced a math problem. When you added up all those armies who would oppose them, and then looked at their army, they didn't stand a chance. But when you add God to the equation, it looks like this. My enemies are greater than me, but God is greater than all my enemies. Israelites, look around you. I am with you. I'm here now and I'll always be here. So be content with what you have. God plus nothing equals everything. And then the third example, Joshua the fearful, from Joshua chapter 1, verse 5. Fast forward now a few more years. Moses, the greatest leader God's people have ever known, is dead. Joshua is the new leader. Now it's time to cross the Jordan River and actually enter the promised land. Well, Joshua is no Moses. Is he really up to the challenge? The Lord speaks to Joshua. The Lord speaks to him compassionately, understanding how he's feeling in the situation he's in. And he says to him in verse 5 of chapter 1, no one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. The Lord had said to him, as I was with Moses. Think of what a towering figure Moses was. He stood before Pharaoh and said, let my people go. He led them through all 10 plagues, including the night of the first Passover. He led them through the Red Sea in victory. He went up to the mountain to talk to the Lord face to face and gave the people the 10 commandments written with the very finger of God. For 40 years, their shoes never wore out. For 40 years, they never ran out of food. For 40 years, they never lost a battle. How can you follow a man like that? There's only one way, God's word. I will be with you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Don't look at all the enemies. Keep your eyes on me. So Joshua, look around you. I'm here now, and I will always be here. So be content with what you have. God plus nothing equals everything. And then the fourth example, Solomon the timid, 1 Chronicles 28:20. Now we fast forward a few more centuries. David is the second king of the United Kingdom of Israel. He wants to build a temple for the Lord, but the Lord says, no, you've been a man of blood. Your son Solomon will be king, and he will build the temple. It's hard to be the son of a famous man. People think of your dad first and you only second. It's almost assumed that you'll never measure up to the heights of accomplishment that your dad has reached. King David himself says of Solomon publicly to the whole nation in 1 Chronicles 29:1, my son Solomon, the one whom God has chosen, is young and inexperienced. The Hebrew there, word translated inexperienced, can mean tender, delicate, timid. How's that for a ringing endorsement from your father? How would you have felt if you were Solomon? Do you ever feel like you aren't enough? Like you can't do it? You can't do enough? You just don't measure up to others? Solomon felt that way. But before David said that to the nation, he had said this privately to Solomon. Be strong and courageous and do the work. Don't be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord God, my God, is with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Does those words sound familiar yet? Do not be afraid. I will be with you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Let me read those words again, except this time, hear them as God's word to you right now, in the middle of whatever is going on in your life right now to keep you from being content. Do not be afraid. The Lord says, I will be with you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. So, if you're like Jacob, guilty of sins, take heart. God will never leave you. If you're like Israel, terrified of what might happen, with many enemies in your path, take heart. God will never leave you. If you're like Joshua and feel afraid and unqualified for the task ahead, take heart. God will never leave you. If you're like Solomon, timid and not measuring up to what people expect of you, take heart. God will never leave you. One author tells a story of over 50 years ago going to a camp retreat for older elementary kids. There was a special speaker called in. He said he remembers absolutely nothing about the speaker, the name, the topic, the scripture read. All he remembers is one thing the speaker said, which I would think is pretty good for 50 years ago. He told the kids to hold up their hands and touch each finger in one hand and say these words with each finger as a reminder of what God was saying to them. Five words, one for each finger. I will never leave you. And then he said, wherever you go, when you start having doubts and fears, just hold out your hand, touch each finger. I will never leave you. And when we believe that from Hebrews 13:5, we can add Hebrews 13:6. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can human beings do to me? We have a plaque that we put in our extra bathroom with this quote, the will of God will never lead you where the grace of God cannot keep you. And that's not in the Bible. When I decided to use this story in a sermon one day, I Googled the quote and found that it was from Billy Graham, although others have probably said it too. That plaque is almost 30 years old, but we keep it in our bathroom. I see it every time I go in there and wash my hands. We keep it there for two reasons. One is that plaque kind of summarizes the relationship for joy in me from the very beginning. And it has been true ever since. When we got married, when I went to seminary, and we were unsure about the future, when I was seeking my first call for church, when we had little girls, when we began to deal with all of one of our daughters, Lauren's physical and emotional issues, and now even when we lost her. Still true. The will of God will never lead you where the grace of God cannot keep you. The second reason we keep it in that bathroom is Lauren could only read at first grade level, but often when she went in there to wash her hands, she'd see that plaque and she would start trying to read all the words on that plaque. I can still hear her voice saying it and now reminding me, the will of God will never lead you where the grace of God can keep you. I don't think she understood the words, the meaning of the words, but they still ring true. In other words, God is saying, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. One of the most trying times in my ministry, of course, was when we lost Lauren. And then COVID was a horrible time in ministry. And fortunately, those happened right together. I remember going to sit alone in our sanctuary during the summer of 2020. We could not meet together there. We met outside in the parking lot. Everyone stayed in their cars, had a microphone that they could tune in on their radios and listen to me. I had my fearful questions as I sat there in that sanctuary alone. What will COVID do to our church? Will we ever be together again? And when we will, who will be missing? Because they've gone to heaven? Or as it turned out, because they got out of the habit of coming to church and never came back? What will that mean for me as the pastor? What will happen? I'm trying to reach out in all the ways that I can. I'm still getting criticized for not doing enough. If I could take the words from the scriptures we read today and put them into God's mouth, I would have this scene in that sanctuary back that summer. The Lord speaks to me, "Steve, look around you. Who's in here right now?" Would answer, "Well, no one, Lord. I'm completely alone, and I feel alone." Then the Lord says, "No, Steve, look again. This time look with the eyes of faith, not just sight, because I want you to walk by faith." And I respond, "This time, Lord, I see that I'm not alone. I see that you're still here no matter what." "That's right, Steve. Take your five fingers and put these words together. I will never leave you." Friends, that's the big secret of learning contentment. The Lord will never leave me. God plus nothing equals everything. I have everything I need if I look around and see that the Lord is with me. Will there ever come a day that I'll look around and the Lord won't be there? No. It might feel that way. I may not see him with my physical eyes. But he's promised me, "Look around. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you." Friends, that is the secret of contentment for today. Look around you to see who's there. I hope you'll join me next week. The next secret of contentment is put your trust in the right place. Thanks for listening.